I've stumbled through the old ruins outside of town, not sure how I got this far away from the bar. There were a few street lamps, and it didn't help that last call was a while ago, and I had no idea really how to get back to my hostel. You know, I was considering just sitting down and sleeping, but as wasted as I was, I'm not a pass out in the street type of drunk, you know what I mean? And I turned the corner, pretty sure that I had already turned the corner before, when I saw a dude standing in the middle of the street. At first, I got really happy as I had somebody I could ask for directions, but then I realized the dude was shirtless and super ripped and was wearing a big bull head over his head. And my head cleared up quickly then, and I suddenly felt very uneasy. The guy just stood there in the dark, staring at me through his creepy bovine mask, breathing heavy, steamy breaths. I somehow managed to take a few step backs, and I turned the corner the way I came, not wanting to mess with some shirtless meatbag who decided to stand in the middle of the street at 4 a.m. wearing a Halloween costume. I then heard a great roar. And then, quick footsteps headed my way. I took off running, and I looked back, and suddenly the guy was charging at me. He lowered his head, and as I turned back to run, I felt him headbutt me in the back, and I fell forward, crashing to the ground. I tasted blood and felt broken teeth in my mouth, and I rolled over just as the guy came at me again, ramming his stupid cow horns into my chest. I gasped for air as I grabbed the horns, trying to rip the mask off this psycho's head. It was stuck firm, so I reached down and tried to grab at the neck to pull the mask up and off, but my fingers couldn't find a seam, and the guy started punching me in my sides. I let go of his head with one hand to try and protect myself when the bull's mouth bit off two of my fingers. I screamed in pain, and as I saw the bull's mouth gulp down my fingers, his bloody lips went into a curl, and it said, "My name is Rick Kitagawa, and this is the Inner Monster Podcast." Many of you might be familiar with the tale of the Minotaur, but the story goes that it was a savage creature with a man's body and the tail and head of a bull that lived in a giant labyrinth on the Greek isle of Crete. Being an unnatural creation born of the queen's love for a bull, the Minotaur ate humans and was kept in the labyrinth to basically keep it away from the rest of human society. And something I have to point out, always in these ancient Greek stories, once again, the women pay for the screw-up of men. King Minos was supposed to sacrifice a white bull to the god Poseidon, but when he decides that this all-white bull is nice and pretty and wants to keep it for himself, and sacrifices a different bull, Poseidon punishes the king by making the queen fall in love with the white bull, and thus we get the Minotaur. Part of the Minotaur myth that most people are familiar with is the slaying of the Minotaur by the Prince of Athens, Theseus, who only really succeeds because the keeper of the labyrinth, Ariadne, gives him a ball of thread to help him find his way back out of the sprawling maze. As with most ancient mythologies, there is thankfully little truth behind this myth, as there haven't been any archaeological traces of a labyrinth being found in Crete. And my first course in college biology taught me how cross-species births aren't really a thing. Cannibalism is often attributed to people who historians wanted to slander, and given that there are lots of accounts of King Minos being associated with bulls and being a bit of a jerk, it is likely that this myth is just historical smack-talking on the side of Athens. The other scientific explanation of the myth is that the bellowing of the Minotaur from below the castle in the depths of the labyrinth also chronologically line up with the same time that there were some major tectonic activities in that area of Greece. So this could be another case of stories being told to explain the then unexplainable. Regardless of the exact origin, something I've personally wondered about the tale of the Minotaur is how terrible it must have been for this poor, misshapen creature. The Minotaur didn't ask to be born a half-man, half-bull, and he basically has to just walk around endlessly, eating people when they're pushed into the maze and spending its entire life in the dark, trapped inside. I've also thought about that how there aren't any bathrooms in an ancient Greek labyrinth, so it's definitely not the most pleasant place to spend your entire life. This pitiful creature that ends up in a maze has been basically excluded from all pleasantries his human siblings, especially as royalty, got to enjoy. And that brings me to the topic of today, exclusion. We often think about exclusion as a negative thing, and it makes sense. Oftentimes, exclusion is used as a weapon to make people feel less than, and if you're a Minotaur stuck in a maze, it's definitely not a good time. Whether it's being left out of key project meetings, voter disenfranchisement, or housing discrimination, oftentimes the idea of keeping people out and away is used to this day to harm others, especially those who are already marginalized. And exclusion, whenever it's based on something like our gender, sexual orientation, disabilities, or the color of our skin, is terrible and obviously needs to be stopped. However, the exclusion I want to talk about today is not that type of exclusion, but the type that entrepreneurs, social media experts, and creatives are all scared of excluding people by focusing on defining their target demographic. This seems silly, but I'm going to assert that most of us do this a lot of the time. It's something that I feel like I still work on constantly. It's the fear of answering the question, who is it for? Because by defining this, you're actually also defining who it is not for. If you're like me and you're painting a portrait of monsters by saying, well, it's for people who like portraits of monsters, you're also saying that this is not for anyone who doesn't like portraits of monsters. You're excluding all of these people. And I think that's the right move to do. Why? Well, because things that try to be for everyone end up being for no one. I know, you want your work or product or service to be widely available and in demand. I get it. I want the same things. But you can have something that's high in demand but is not for everyone. I mean, think about luxury brands. Is a handbag literally made out of upcycled trash by Louis Vuitton that is worth $150,000 for everyone? It's definitely not for me, but for people who have an extra $150,000 and want avant-garde, super unique handbags and care about designer status, it's definitely for them. They're literally telling most people, this costs as much as some houses, this is not for you. But that said, they create desire among those who want to buy their way into uniqueness. That is who it's for. So, you may be thinking that, okay, well, trash that's worth six figures is a bit of an outlier, and you might take a common item that has worldwide appeal and is found all over the world. Say, Coca-Cola. So, let's look at Coke then through this lens of exclusion. If I were to ask you, who is Coke for, you might answer with, well, anyone. It's fairly cheap, and lots of people around the world drink Coke. However, I don't drink Coke, I don't really like cola, and I am much more of a cream soda or root beer type of guy, but rarely drink soda at all. I know a lot of people who don't drink Coke because of the sugar content. It's also not for all of the people around the world living in poverty who don't make enough money to be able to afford a $1.50 Coke. It's not for people worried about staining their teeth. It's not for people who don't like carbonation, or cola, or soft drinks in general. And there's practically nothing on this planet that is for everyone. Even something you might think as universal as bottled water. Crystal Geyser is for one demographic, and Evian or Voss is for another. Frankly, some people try not to drink bottled water unless it's in emergency situations and carry around reusable water bottles and drink tap. So how did these products or brands become so well known if they're not for everyone? Well, I want to start by talking about a theory called the diffusion of innovation. First conceptualized in 1962 by Everett Rogers, this theory goes on to posit that in order for any innovation to spread, it must first be adopted from a small group of innovators, people who always like bleeding edge stuff. It is then adopted by a slightly larger group of early adopters, people with a higher risk tolerance than most and willing to try new things. However, the thing is that these two groups only take up about 17.5% of the total possible market. For what you might call mainstream success, you need to move on to get the early and late majority of people who together make up a whopping 68% of the entire market. And when a company does this, you start to see what I call parent-level fame. My parents are relatively hip, but I do know something has made mainstream success when they talk to me about something like this before I bring it up to them. However, as written in the book Crossing the Chasm by Jeffrey A. Moore, there exists a huge chasm between those early adopters and the early majority. And this is where a lot of companies can get stuck, as the early adopters and early majority often have very, very different risk tolerances and expectations to manage. So, getting back to exclusion, you can see that in order to get to quote-unquote everybody, you first need to find that 2.5% of innovators who will be your superfans. They are the ones who speak the same language as you. And it's sort of why this podcast is structured how it is. I could easily swap things and put the self-improvement stuff first and put the monster stuff second. But I don't, because I know that this podcast is not for everyone. It's not for people who just like to learn and grow and work on themselves. It's not for people who only like short horror fiction and mythology. It's for people who like both, or at least like the monsters enough to sit around through that to get to this part of the podcast. Might that alienate and exclude some listeners? Definitely. But why try to capture their attention when I might not be for them anyway? If you don't like my podcast, and it could be for any number of reasons, and that's okay, it is not for you. But if this is for you, as I hope it is for anyone making it this far into an episode, well, you're the reason I make this. So you might be scared of driving people off. But remember that the world is vast, and the only way to grow is to get great at figuring out exactly who it is for, articulating that, as well as who it is not for, and then serving the audience exactly what they're looking for in the first place. So, going back to exclusion, it's actually giving people a gift. It's letting them know that this might not be for them, and that's okay. But if you never show them that it's not for them, they might waste their time and then get upset with you. And that's even a worse outcome than not having them adopt your product in the first place. So make sure you get really clear about who's it for, who's it not for, and then you can go out and find your tribe. That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Inner Monster Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to check out all of our other episodes wherever you get your podcasts or visit innermonsterpodcast.com. And if you feel so inclined, please spread the word and share this with a friend, or leave a review, or subscribe to get the podcast each week, every Inner Monster Monday. And now, a quick word from our sponsors. If you want to hear Inner Monster Podcast episodes before anyone else, consider joining my Patreon at patreon.com/rickkitagawa, where you can get ad-free episodes, discounts on creepy art, and even coaching packages. That's patreon.com/rickkitagawa. I hope to see you there. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a monstrous day.